Good morning. It's certainly good to see you this morning. It's good to be here. Thankful for the opportunity that our God has given us to be able to worship Him upon the first day of the week. We have many of our own number, I know, that are out of town and that are traveling. Many that are mentioned in our bulletin on our sick list that we need to be mindful of. It's certainly good to see Brother Russell with us this morning. I know they've had a lot going on with his dad and want to continue to be mindful of them and the situation. But it's certainly good to be here. It was good to have Brother Don leading us in our song service. I think it's a very neat thing that his son, Stephen, is leading singing this morning with the congregation there at Southwest. Stephen placed membership there, I guess, a few weeks ago. He's going to be living there for a period of time, part, I believe, of his schooling. And so he'll be working there with the Southwest congregation, and it's good to see him jumping right in and taking part with the congregation there. This morning we're going to be talking about a very important subject, a subject that all of us need to be mindful of. Whether we're talking about being the salt of the earth, the light of the world, or whether we're talking about being ready always to give answer of the reason of the hope that lies within us, it takes courage. It takes courage. You remember the Apostle Peter would say in 2 Peter 1, verse number 5, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, courage," or virtue. Virtue is that moral courage when it comes to doing what is right. From 2 Peter 1, verse number 5, some have described virtue as lion-hearted courage. Courage is something that should be exalted in our lives. Solomon would also say in Proverbs 28, verse number 1, "The righteous are as bold as a lion." And so when it comes to being that positive influence in a dark world, or when it comes to being ready to give answer of the hope that lies within in us, we see that courage is needed. Courage is something that all of us should strive to gain as New Testament Christians. Let me just give you a working definition of what courage is. And really there are different ways you can look at courage. And I believe these three definitions, very similar, give us really an insight of what courage is. First of all, courage is the attitude of facing and dealing with anything that is recognized as dangerous and painful instead of withdrawing from it. Instead of withdrawing from it. Courage has also been defined as the quality of being fearless and brave. Again, the quality of being fearless and brave. And then the third definition that you may want to jot down or to just keep in the back of your mind for our study this morning is this. Courage is mental and moral strength that helps us overcome our fears. Mental and moral strength that can help us overcome our trials. As I said, the righteous are as bold as a lion. And so what can we mention from God's Word this morning that can help us gain more courage in our daily walk with God? Well, to begin with, we want to notice some familiar examples of courage from the Old Testament. If we were going to talk about faith this morning and how to build faith, we would probably turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 and we would talk about those heroes of faith, and we would look at their lives and we would see how they were faithful to God. We want to do the same thing that we see in Hebrews chapter 11, but we want to talk about courage. And there are many examples of those who demonstrated courage. We want to use the rest of our time this morning to looking at several examples of individuals who demonstrated that lion-hearted courage. Because when we stop and think about the courage that they exhibited during trying times, it really encourages us to be more courageous in our daily walk with God. And then, Lord willing, this evening, we're going to make a few observations about courage, and we want to look at more application. And so this morning and this evening, we're going to be talking about an important subject: how to have more courage, because it takes courage when it comes to being a Christian. Now, as we look at these examples, you will notice that these are familiar stories. And remember, the things are written aforetime, according to Romans 15, verse number 4, were written for our learning. That's why we're going back to the Old Testament and we're looking at these Old Testament examples of individuals who demonstrated this lion-hearted courage, who had that mental and moral strength that helped them overcome whatever adversity or hardship it was. Let's open our Bibles to Numbers chapter 13. Perhaps Numbers chapter 13 is a favorite for all of us. We mentioned it already this morning in Bible class, and time is not going to allow us to read all of Numbers chapter 13. But the good thing is, most of us are familiar with these Old Testament stories. If you've never read Numbers chapter 13, as soon as you go home this morning, I would encourage you to sit down and read Numbers 13, Numbers chapter 14. It's such a great story. But as you go back to Numbers chapter 13, we see that spies were sent out to spy out the land, and they brought back a report. And we see in verse number 28, the spies said that the people were strong. They saw giants in the land. Look at verse number 31. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Verse 32, "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched out unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature.' They saw giants in the land," verse number 33, "and they became grasshoppers in their own sight." Now, that wasn't all 12 spies that were saying this. There were two spies, as you know, Joshua and Caleb, that said, "You know what? We are well able to do this." Verse number 30, "We are well able." The other spy said, "We're not able to do this." Well, Joshua and Caleb said, "We are well able to do this." I find it interesting in verse number 13. 10 of the spies, as they saw the giants in the land, as they saw the enemy, notice how they describe the enemy there in verse number 32. "They eateth up the inhabitants thereof." That's how strong they were. But notice how Joshua and Caleb turned that around. Joshua and Caleb, verse 9 and verse number 10, said, "Don't be afraid of them." Look at verse 9. I like this. Notice this courage. "They be bread for us." They be bread for us. But as you stop and think about Joshua and Caleb, who said, "You know what? We are well able to do this," what was the spirit that caused them to arise above fear? Again, what was the spirit that caused them to rise above their fears? For example, turn over to Numbers 14, verse number 24. We see that Caleb had a different spirit. He had another spirit. What was the spirit that we're reading about here in Numbers 14, verse 24, that caused him and Joshua to rise up above what everybody else was saying and not be afraid? It was the spirit of courage. That mental and moral strength that enabled them to say, we are well able to do this. That's the kind of spirit we need to have as New Testament Christians. We can live the Christian life. We are well able to be the people that God wants us to be, influencing a dark world, helping others come to know Jesus Christ. God has given us a great work to do, and we need to remember that we are well able to do this. There is that spirit of courage that enables us to take the work of God more seriously. Because if we have a lack of courage, we'll be like the 10 spies. And we'll look out at this dark world and what we will see is giants. And when we see giants from this context, we will become grasshoppers in our own sight. It takes courage to be a Christian. I promise you, it doesn't matter who you are. Every one of us in here, and I mean every one of us in here, will have giants that we have to overcome. We will all have giants that we have to overcome. I have giants. You have giants, but it's the spirit of courage that we are exalting this morning that will help us overcome anything this life presents. And I mean anything. Courage, again, enables us to rise above our fears. Remember what we talked about this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. Not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of courage, like we see with Joshua and Caleb. Let's open our Bibles now to the book of Judges. Just working through the Old Testament. I made this easy. I put these in order so you wouldn't have to jump all around. You just work through the Old Testament with me. Book of Judges. Book of Judges reveals a lot of Old Testament history. We see the cycle of God's people over and over again. Well, here in Judges chapter 6, we see the people were delivered over into the hands of the Midianites. And they began to serve the Midianites, and they got to a point where they would cry out to God. And again, you see this cycle over and over again in the book of Judges. Well, God's people will cry out to God. And we see here in chapter 6, verse number 11 through 15, God is going to raise up Gideon. Gideon is a lot like Moses. He began to make excuses. You know, who am I? Who am I that is going to be able to do this? I'm just like one of the people. I'm not able to do this. But we see that Gideon is going to meet the challenge. This is really a great story how the Lord uses Gideon. But as you're looking at this with me, look at verse number 25. To me, this is what stands out. There are really two major points about Gideon's life that stands out. First of all, the Lord asked Gideon to rise up against the false religion of his father. Now, do you imagine how difficult that would be? To rise up and go against the false religion of your father? Look at verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. in the ordered place and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down." Friends, that is a true picture of courage. Not being afraid to go against the false religion of your own father. Think about the courage that it would take, because that's the kind of courage that we need as New Testament Christians. You know, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Father shall rise up against son and daughter." Jesus would go on to say, "A man's foes shall they be of his own household." The point that Jesus is making there in Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse number 32, sometimes the gospel will cause a division in families. It can cause a big division in families, and like Gideon, we need to always have the courage to stand with the Lord and to do what is right. And that's not always easy. But there are passages that really encourage us and motivate us to have that lion-hearted courage to always be faithful to the Lord. One of the verses that I like from the book of Psalms is found in Psalm 27, verse 10. "When mother and father forsake thee, the Lord will take you up." Again, when mother and father forsake you, God wants you to know, "I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to take you up. I'm going to be there for you." We need to understand again that sometimes the gospel can cause that division like it did with Gideon and his father. But Gideon did what was right because of his courage. There's another great story here in Judges chapter 6 and 7. You remember that Gideon is going to assemble his army to deliver the Israelites from the Midianites. And so Gideon assembles his army. You remember what the Lord tells Gideon? "You have too many soldiers. You have had too many." And the point that the Lord was making to Gideon is if you go and deliver the Israelites from the hand of the Midianites, the people are going to think that they're the ones that did this and not the Lord. And so what does the Lord begin to do with Gideon's army? He downsizes it. Ultimately down to 300 footmen. But I want you to look at Judges chapter 7, and notice with me verse number 3. "Now therefore go to and proclaim." The Lord is going to downsize Gideon's army, and this is how He does it. Verse number 3. This is the first thing the Lord tells Gideon to do that we're focusing on. "You go and you proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead, and there return to the people 22,000, and there remain 10,000. Just like that, from 22,000 to 10,000. Listen, if you're afraid to go to battle, you just go on home. By the way, you will see that was according to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 8. This had already been revealed to the Israelites. When they would go and conquer the land, they were not supposed to be afraid. And you can see why. Because in Deuteronomy 20, verse 8, God says those who are afraid are going to have an effect on others, and they too will become afraid. And so if you're afraid to go to battle, you just go on home. And that's how the Lord begins to downsize Gideon's army. Well, what about us? We know we're not in a physical warfare. Spiritually speaking, we are in a spiritual warfare. We're to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We're to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles. But notice that. So that we can be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, we can learn so much from these Old Testament stories because we are in a spiritual battle. And in this spiritual battle, it takes courage to stand and to fight against our adversary, the devil. Paul, in the same book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, says, "Don't give place to the devil. Don't give him an opportunity to work in your life. Have the courage to stand against him." The language of James 4, verse 7 and 8, resist the devil and he'll what? He'll flee from you. But friends, it takes courage to resist him. It takes courage, that mental and moral strength, to stand up against the devil, to overcome temptation. It's not going to happen by accident, because it's easier to give in to the wiles, the craftiness of the devil. It takes courage to fight the good fight, to stand and not to turn back in the day of battle. That's how God described Ephraim in Psalm 78, verse number 9. The sons of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, listen to it, turn back in the day of battle. They became afraid. Even though they were equipped, they turned back in the day of battle. Friends, God has equipped us, spiritually speaking. In fact, Paul in Ephesians 6 would go on to talk about the whole armor of God. We are to put on the whole armor of God. We are to gird ourselves with the gospel, with truth. We are to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You go through it and you see that God has equipped us. We just need to have the courage to fight the good fight, to equip ourselves spiritually and not be like the children of Ephraim who turned back in the day of battle. Oh, it takes courage, lion-hearted courage, to be a child of God, to stand against the opposition, to stand against the trials, the temptations of this life. And when we study stories like Joshua and Caleb, when we look at individuals like Gideon, it causes us to want to be more courageous. Let's look at another example as you are going through Old Testament history. Turn over to the book of Ezra. Turn over to the book of Ezra. Here in Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8. We see a very interesting story. God's people are coming out of captivity. They went into captivity because of their idolatrous practices. They have suffered the consequences now. Under Cyrus, they're allowed to go back home. They're allowed to go back to Jerusalem. You remember Zerubbabel will take a group. Ezra and Nehemiah, they're going to go back. Ezra reestablishes the law. Nehemiah builds the walls. We'll go to Nehemiah here in just a few minutes. But Ezra is going to go back. But you remember, he goes before the king and he makes certain requests going back to Jerusalem. And notice this in verse number 22, because this trip back to Jerusalem wasn't an ordinary journey. There would be dangers, there would be risk, and Ezra knew that. But Ezra wasn't willing to ask the king, verse 22, for soldiers. Why is that? You go back to chapter 6, we see that chapter 7 and chapter 6, Ezra told the king that the Lord would be with them. And the Lord would protect them. But now the king says, okay, you're welcome to go back. Reality has set in. Ezra now is talking to the people, and he says in verse 22, "For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon them for good that seek Him, but His power and His wrath is against all of them that forsake them." What is that? That is courage in the face of danger. That mental strength, that mental toughness that helps us overcome our fears. You see, Ezra and the people were tempted to walk by sight. They realized what was ahead of them as they made that journey. But they walked by faith, which takes courage. They remembered that the Lord was with them to help them fight their battles. And so again, if we're going to walk by faith, if we're going to overcome this world, we're going to have to allow God to guide us, to direct us. We're going to have to put our faith and trust in Him. We're going to have that mental toughness that keeps us from being distracted by everything that we see before us. To walk by faith takes courage. This is the kind of courage that you see in Ezra. And it would have been so easy to ask the king for a band of soldiers to protect the people as they would make their way back to Jerusalem. But that's not what Ezra did. And I'm convinced when you look at the king's response, if that's what Ezra asked for, that's what Ezra would have received. And so you can just imagine a group of people making their way back to Jerusalem. And here is Persia's king and his powerful army staying behind, and God's people making that journey. That is faith, and that is courage. And really, in a sense, we're all on a journey, aren't we? We are pilgrims and strangers in this world, and we are striving to make our way to heaven. There's going to be opposition. There are going to be struggles. There are going to be challenges. And as we're emphasizing, all of us need all of us in here need that moral courage when it comes to doing what is right. Look at another example, if you would, still just going through the book of the Old Testament here. Turn to the book of Nehemiah. I mentioned this earlier. We were going to look at Nehemiah. But here in the book of Nehemiah, we see that Nehemiah is rebuilding the wall, doing the Lord's work. But we see here in Nehemiah that they faced opposition. If you want, you could go back to Nehemiah chapter 4. We see the opposition beginning here in chapter 4. We read about individuals by the name of Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem that were discouraging Nehemiah and the people from doing the Lord's work, from rebuilding the wall. In fact, this is heavy with sarcasm. Look at chapter 4, verse 3. And Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." Do you see the sarcasm? Do you see how they were trying to discourage Nehemiah and the people from building the wall? Listen, even if they are able to build the wall, if a fox runs across it, it's just going to fall down. Trying to intimidate the people. And this went on and on in chapter 6. We see the same thing occurring here in chapter 6. Sanballat and Tobiah, they're trying to get Nehemiah to come and talk with them. Not to build him up, but to discourage him. Listen, "And I sent messengers," verse 3, "unto them, saying, I am doing a great work." This is Nehemiah's response to Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem. "Listen, I'm doing the Lord's work so that I cannot come down. I don't have time to deal and play games here. I'm doing the Lord's work here." Look at chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. "And afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Meshitabel, who was shut up, and said, Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night they will come to slay thee. And I said, Should such a man as I flee?" What is that? That's courage. "And who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in." The answer is no. And lo, I perceive that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me for Tobiah, and Sanballat hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid." Nehemiah wouldn't listen to Sanballat or Tobiah or Geshem, so they hired somebody else to go and try to discourage Nehemiah. And they told Nehemiah, "Listen, you might as well just shut the doors here. Shut the doors of the temple." You see how they were trying to discourage Nehemiah and the people. But what do you see in Nehemiah? You see that spirit of courage once again rising above the opposition. And we see in chapter 8 that they finished the wall because the people had a mind to work. They had a mind to work. Well, what can we learn from that? Well, as we've been emphasizing, the Lord has given us a work to do. And He's given us a great work to do. And there are going to be a lot of people like Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem who are going to cause opposition. They're going to try to hinder the great work that we're going to do. They're going to try to discourage us. But courage enables us to, again, to rise above the opposition. Think about what Paul told the congregation at Thessalonica concerning the work with the brethren there. Remember, Paul was run out of town, but he was wanting to go back and be with the brethren, but he wasn't able to make it back to them. That's why he sent Timothy. But in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse number 18, Paul says, "Satan hindered us." Let's remember that when it comes to the work here at Lake Country. The devil is going to do everything to try to hinder us collectively as a congregation and individually. What he's going to try to do is tear us apart. He is going to try to move us individually, distract us from doing what is most important. And we need to be more like Nehemiah. We need to realize really what is before us. And we need to realize out of everything that is going on in our life, serving the Lord and putting Him first is number one priority. But friends, it takes courage, that mental strength, that mental toughness to be like Joshua. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Again, friends, that is courage. And that's the kind of courage that we need to add to our faith. Let's look at one more example. One more example. Turn over, if you would, to the book of Esther. Turn over to the book of Esther. You can add to this list. There are many, many more examples. I think I had two more after this written down from the book of Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you can see their courage. Also Daniel in chapter 6, you can see his courage. But here in the book of Esther is just a great story. And I want to pick up in chapter 3. As I said, we don't have time to go into all of this. But we see Haman's wicked plot to destroy the Jews. Haman receives a promotion. Mordecai doesn't bow down to Haman. This upsets Haman. And based upon Mordecai and also the rest of the Jews, he makes a plot to try to destroy the Jews. Mordecai catches wind of this, and you remember he calls upon Queen Esther to go before the king on the behalf of the people. But I want you to pick it up in Esther chapter 4, verse number 11. "And all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to be put him to death." You see the setting here. Mordecai was asking Esther to do that which was contrary to the law that was established, to go into the inner court before the king. that was unlawful. Those who did that, they'd be put to death immediately. But that's what Mordecai is asking Esther to do. Notice with me verse number 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all of the Jews." Esther, think through this. You're a Jew. And if Haman brings his plot to fruition, you too are going to be put to death. Verse 14. "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at thy time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and thither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise." Now listen to this. "And I will go unto the king, which is not according to the law." And listen to it. "And if I perish, I perish." Again, friends, what is that? That's courage. That is that moral strength that will help you overcome your fears. You see how it helped Ezra overcome her fears? "Okay, I will do it." And do you realize that her act of courage, think about it, her act of courage saved an entire nation. What's the lesson? Our act of courage in presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ can save lost souls. Remember, we've been given the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And sometimes we look out at the world and we become intimidated by the world and we become silent with the gospel. What are they going to think of me when I present the gospel? Maybe you know that individual is in a horrible situation. Maybe they're practicing homosexuality. Maybe you know, because you know them personally, that they're living in adultery. And you're thinking, you know, as I present the gospel, this is going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. You feel like that, you remember Ezra and the courage she demonstrated. And remember, her courage saved an entire nation. And your courage in presenting the gospel, no matter what, to a lost and dying world has the possibility to save a lost soul. Add to your faith virtue, moral courage. Whether it's being the salt of the earth, the light of the world, or whether it's being ready to give answer to every person that asks us of the hope, the reason of the hope that lies within us, we can see this morning that it takes courage. May God help us have the courage to always do what is right. Lord willing, when we come back this morning, we want to make a few observations about courage, and then make some more application. But we want to end our lesson this morning by offering the Lord's invitation. And you know, as you think about the Lord's invitation, which encourages people to become a Christian, it takes courage to take yourself out of the picture, to deny self, and to do what the Lord wants you to do, to be obedient to the gospel. If you're not a Christian, we pray that you would have the courage to obey the gospel, to become a Christian. Put the Lord first in your life, and I promise you there won't be any regret. And may God help us all have courage as we strive to make a difference in this world. The invitation is yours this morning. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you need to obey the gospel, if you need the prayers of the church, we want you to know that we're here to encourage you. If we can help you in any way, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.